This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with our podcast for January the 2nd. This is our 8th podcast. Previously, we have covered such topics as seeing the fish in the stream, the food in the stream, the different tactics we can use in seasonal bases, covering the small streams and the medium-sized streams. Today, we're going to start continuing our seasonal sequence. We're going to cover what goes on in the mountain streams here in Virginia from the 1st of June through the summer on into early September. Now, these are small streams. I'm talking about streams that are maybe 20 feet wide. The pools are 20 feet long. If you're up in New York, this would be the Little Salmon, a Little Chazy. If you're down in the Smokies, this would be Abrams Creek. If you're out in the Rockies, this would be the upper part of the Gallatin or even the upper part of the Gardner. But these are the small streams. Now, I'm gearing these tactics to what I find here in Virginia. If you're north, south, east, west, you may have to adjust your schedule slightly differently. But this is what we find in Virginia during this time period. Now, for these small streams, I like a rod that's around 6.5 to 7.5 feet long that handles a number 3 line. I'm really after accuracy and delicacy at these close-in distances. Now, something happens beginning in our country here around the first part of the summer that can influence our tactics for the rest of the summer, and that is these streams drop quite a bit. The fish become very, very wary in the stream, so we need to be delicate, we need to be accurate, and what I use in my tactics is often as I approach a pool, I'll take a few minutes to study the water to try to spot the fish on the stream. Now, we had one whole session of our podcast devoted to this, but trying to see them on the stream certainly puts the odds in your favor. Now, I'm going to talk about our mayflies first, and then I'm going to jump over and talk about our terrestrials. Now, in early June, we still have quite a few of the sulfurs. That's the Ephemerella dorothea primarily. Now, these hatches are good, but in the low water, those fish can be very, very spooky. As the season progresses, these flies are later and later in the day. When you're thinking about fishing the sulfur hatch, try to stay until dark. Basically, the duns are going to come up about 2 hours before dark. The spinners are going to fall just about dark. In fact, on one stream I fish, I've got 2 hours of pretty good fishing in the evening, and another stream 30 miles from it, I've only got about a half hour of good fishing. Now, the way I cheat on this is try to look into the west. Even after the sun's down below the horizon, I can often spot some of those rise forms even when it's almost dark. So take advantage of that. Now, sometime, especially in the spring creeks, you can find some big fish working on these sulfurs. So be very careful, and for goodness sakes, don't false cast over the stream. That'll put them down in a hurry. If you've got to dry your fly, false cast it to the side and then shoot it out there. And this, usually in Virginia, this is going to last through June, once in a while into July. Now, the little yellow stonefly is still on in June with us, and it can go well through July. Now, remember, the nymphs on this guy live along the rocky, the mossy sides of these rocks in the stream. If you're going to fish the water, not seeing a fish, let's say you go into a pool and you don't see any fish rising, but you know they're little yellow stoneflies. You've seen a couple of them bobbing off. It looked like a little helicopter's coming up out of there. Fish your dry fly along those streams. I like the Murray sulfur because it is the Murray's little yellow stonefly because it is so delicate. But the little yellow stonefly, although they are very small and very delicate as the season goes on, the trout are still feeding on them. I'm fishing a 6X leader all the way through here. Now, starting in our country around the middle of June and lasting until October, we get the trico. In the old days, we used to call this the Canis hatch, but now we're supposed to say trico. Comes on about 7 o'clock in the morning, can last to 2 or 3 hours, and these can be exceptionally heavy. For instance, I was fishing a little spring creek one time with Vince Marinero, and I'd been working over this one nice brown, and I couldn't catch him to save my life. I'd shown him every fly in my box, and I still couldn't take him. And Vince was sitting up on a hill under an apple tree watching me, and I went up and sat down beside him, and I said, "Vince, that guy is tough." And we were sitting there, and for some reason, I decided to time him. And that was back in the days we used watch with the old sweep hand. In 60 seconds, that brown trout took 67 duns. and he wouldn't take mine. Vince finally said, well, go back down and relocate. Get a different shot at him. Don't just change flies, but go back down and try to give him a different angle. You may have been getting drag that you and I, neither one could see, but the trout could. Went back down, took Vince's advice, relocated, and caught him on the first drift on a fly that he'd seen several times before. So on these little flies, now we're talking about size 24 here. I don't use that many 26s on trichos, but you sure can't get away with a 22 very often. Not here in the east. You can out west, but you can't here in the east. So I'm using a 24 on this. I do use a line hand strike. That's what I call a slip strike, so I don't break them off, because many times I'm going to 8X on this. You can get away with 7X in some cases, but in most cases I really like to go to 8X. And because you got some big fish on light tippets, try using a landing net, because you want to land these guys as quickly as you can so you don't stress them. But those are the main hatches we have here through the summer. Now let's look at the terrestrials. Very few people talk about a hatch chart pertaining to terrestrials. Well, I think in that direction, and in many of my writings, my books, my stories, I do sort of give a hatch chart. The first terrestrials I see are the black ants, closely followed by the cinnamon ants. Now, by early June, you've got many, many, many ants. So watch fish feeding on these as you move into a pool. There's one little metastream I fish I call the jungle. Lots of tree limbs hanging down over the water for about 100-yard stretch. And I mean, it is a jungle. But staying back and spotting these fish coming up on those little ants falling off those tree limbs, going one-on-one with them with a little Mr. Rapidan ant and about size 20 is a lot of fun. Now, the true inchworms are pretty well tapered over by this time. But my biologist friends, one of them brought me a lot of literature on this, and great, they're many, many kissing cousins to the inchworm. So we use that Murray's inchworm at about a size 16 throughout the summer, fishing the meta streams, the spring creeks, the mountain streams, because there are a lot of wormy-like creatures in these mountains. I was fishing with Ed Shank one time at a little meta stream, and Vince said, I think I saw one feeding up under those willows along that grassy bank. Said, shoot your cricket up in there and see if you can get him. Well, I put it up where I thought he was talking about, and I didn't do any good. And he said, let me try him. And he had a little inchworm on. It shot it up in a little tube hollow. There was overgrown grass on the right and willows on the left hanging down in there. He only had a target about the size of a Honda's hubcap, and he shoved it up there and took a huge brown on the first drift on his little inchworm. So don't overlook the little inchworms throughout the entire summer. Now, the beetles. One day I was fishing with Charlie Fox, and we were on one of the spring creeks there in Pennsylvania, and Charlie looked down and saw I was using a beetle. He says, that's a great fly here, but your mountain streams in Virginia will give you a lot of fish on the beetle. And he went ahead to say that the beetle was his favorite fly on all of the mountain freestone streams. And at that time, the popular pattern was a crow beetle, and it's still a good fly. But then I monkeyed around with it, and we came up with the Murray's flying beetle. And from probably the 1st of June all the way into maybe mid-September, unless there's a hatch on, I start with a Murray's flying beetle in about a size 14 or 16. Now, a tricky thing to do when those hatches are on, like I was just talking about, I call my flying beetle a hatch finisher. Now, what I'm talking about there, you've got a trico hatch, it's tapered off, you still see a few fish around coming up, see a few on feeding stations. These guys are greedy. They want to get the last mouthful they can get. Well, what I do is I give up the hatch matcher and I go to, say, the flying beetle on here and drift it over some of those fish. A fish that's been refusing you all day might nail that beetle because he just doesn't want to give up for the day. Now, a trick I use, you see a fish out there coming up, and let's say he's even coming up to your beetle. He's come up to it and refused it two or three times. Wait till he gets back on his feeding station and then kind of cool it for about, maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes. Then aim your cast right even with his tail and about a foot to the side, and this time, instead of a nice gentle delivery, splat that thing on the water and let it land right beside his tail. And amazingly, a lot of those big fish that have been passing up that dead drift will turn and nail that thing on the first drift. So hit him on the tail with it, and many times this will give you a good big brown that's been refusing you all day. Now, Ed Shank's cricket is what I call a terrific fish finder. I use these in the West. I use them in the West, East, West, all over the country, mountain streams, spring creeks, anywhere. The Ed Shanks cricket is one of the finest of all the crickets I have ever used. When I say fish finder, I mean there's hardly a brown lying along an undercut bank or a brook crowd in a feeding station on the tail of a pool that won't come up and look at it. Now, that doesn't mean every one of them is going to take the cricket because, you know, you're talking about a size 14 or 16 cricket, and a lot of times the naturals at this time of the year aren't all that big. But he's come up and looked at it maybe the second or third time and refused it. Well, that's when I cheat. I drop down to a size 20, Mr. Rapidan Ant, run it right down his throat, and I'd say over half of them will take that fly because you've actually found his feeding station. Now, we get a mountain wasp. That's my name. I'm not sure technically what he is bugology-wise, but we get what I call a mountain wasp. Looks a whole lot like a cricket to me. But Ed Shanks' pattern in about a size 16 in the mountain streams, maybe Westkill up behind Art Flick's house, that kind of stream. When you get these little wasps spawning in the summer all throughout the Blue Ridge Mountains, go in there with about a size 16 Shanks cricket, and you can take a lot of those fish. Now, toward the latter part of the summer, the hoppers are big enough to really turn on a lot of the big fish. I think, really, if I had to choose between the hopper and the cricket, I'd go to the cricket. And another thing now, going for the cricket compared to the hopper, the crickets are on a little bit early in the morning. They seem to wake up and get going while the hoppers are sleeping in. But the hopper's a good pattern. And again, my friend Ed Shank, with his Latorte hopper, is my favorite of the whole bunch, although I carry quite a few different ones. One day I was fishing the meadow there on Big Spring Creek, which, you know, you expect to find your hoppers around the meadows, the hay fields, the pasture fields, that kind of thing. So I was fishing in that one of those lower meadows on Big Spring Creek, and a pretty severe storm came up preceding a thunderstorm, and the wind was huffing and puffing off that far side, and it was blowing hoppers in there like crazy. I put on one of Ed's Latorte hoppers, and I had some fantastic fishing. Those fish were feeding on those natural hoppers blowing in just like they'd be feeding on a hatch. Another place I like to fish hoppers are the tails of the deep pools. Now, this would be sort of in, it's still the small streams, but maybe like the Upper Gardner, the Upper Gallatin, that kind of thing. In the tails of those deep pools, a lot of those fish will pull up under a hopper and nail them. Now, although I'm talking the hatches, don't overlook the nymphs at this time of the year. Now, this is a matter of personal preference. I have friends that would rather fish nymphs than streamers or dries. So that's a matter of how you want to handle it. But now remember, these fish are very, very spooky. You want to go upstream. You probably want to fish upstream dead drift. Go to 6X leader, use an scientific angler bright butt leader with that two of the SA indicators in there. And you're going to try to see these strikes. And again, don't false cast over the pool. My probably two of the most dependable nymphs at this time of year would actually be the olive caddis pupa and the tan caddis pupa, because there are a lot of little caddis coming later. Some of the guys call that the green sedge and the brown sedge. But that Murray's olive caddis and the Murray's tan caddis in a size 14 is a great nymph to use throughout the year. And don't overlook the shrimp and the crest bugs. Now, many meadow streams, if they've got some alkaline water coming into them right behind my fly shop where I'm sitting, there's a terrific spring that rolls in right almost under the fly shop. And where that goes into the Big Stony Creek, it's loaded with crest bugs in there. Now, remember, crest bugs and sow bugs are the same thing with two different names. What I like to do on that is try to spot the fish before I cast to them, see if they're working on a crest bug. But you can fish the water with them upstream dead drift. But nymphs are just a matter of personal preference. Now, streamers, don't overlook the streamers this time of the year, because many, many big fish feed on streamers. Vince told me one time where a big fish was. He says, now, Harry, about dark, go up and hide down behind such and such a log and just wait till that guy comes out. Well, I went where Vince had directed me. Oh, I was well below dark because he had me pretty psyched up on how big this fish was. And I hid down in the grass behind this particular log he directed me to, and I waited till dark, and I never did see a fish come out, thinking maybe he snuck out there and I didn't see him. And about the time I was ready to leave, Here came a wake out from under the far bank, right where Vince had said, it looks like somebody pulled a refrigerator out from under that bank. No, I didn't get him. I was so shook, I didn't know what was going on. But don't overlook streamers. Sculpin Imitation, the Ollie Strimp was good, the Pearl Marauder's good, the Betsy Streamer is outstanding. But remember, streamers are mini imitations, but now it's still low water, so you're probably going to have to fish these upstream. I use that thing I call the bounce retrieve, where I cast it up and just kind of jig it along the bottom as it's coming back to me. Deadfalls are a great place. There's a place out on one of the upper streams in Yellowstone National Park that has a whole lot of deadfalls. Fishing back under those deadfalls with a streamer can be exceptionally effective. Now, that completes what I wanted to cover today. I'm headed in the hospital for a knee replacement in a couple days, so we'll be grounded on our podcast here for about 3 weeks. But if you have any questions on any of this, just give us a call at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburg, Virginia. Thank you very much.